Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today. Looking forward to this journey together as we face the issues. Lest I forget it, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have a dialogue and discussion on the issue of today. As we're speaking today, we're talking about the question, if you will, should police departments be defunded? Should we defund our police departments across America? You know, that's the push by the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party. They're wanting to defund the police departments. That's a major key element in the Marxist agenda for the United States of America, as is normal for the Maoist Marxist Communist Party. And that is the focus that we find with the proposed Joe Biden administration. We'll talk about that during the course of our monologue and discussion. Then we're going to introduce a very special guest today to discuss a bill that's being introduced in the city of Jacksonville that, in fact, will absolutely have the focal point of the potentiality of defunding our police department in the city of Jacksonville, Florida. So it ought to be of interest to everyone listening, everyone on the sound of my voice. We cover an area that I believe numbers-wise would probably be somewhere in the neighborhood of 1.5 million or better people. Don't know how many is listening today, but it's a very urgently important broadcast today that should get all of our attention, especially as citizens of Duval County, Jacksonville, Florida. We'll be talking about it in a moment, but let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. It is the truth book. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, as he's speaking to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus made a declaratory statement as he speaks of himself. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And then further to elaborate on that statement, in John 17:17, Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." And so the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God is the truth book. And may I recommend that that is the book that ought to direct our footsteps and be the light under our pathway each day as Christians. And as I'm speaking to Christians and to conservatives and to we the people, citizens in general, need to be concerned about the trajectory and the direction that we're going in America. It was George Orwell back many years ago, the secularist writer, that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And if you don't believe that's the fact, ladies and gentlemen, go out and speak to some of your friends, relatives, neighbors, acquaintances, or even enemies that are for the Biden administration and others, and you stand on truth and you talk about truth, whether it be truth of the Word of God, truth about church or about family matters, truth about the governmental system in America and around the globe. If you speak on truth and stand on truth, there'll be those that will hate you for it. This is the reason back in the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, made the statement, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And that ought to be the mantra and the stand, the modus operandi, if you please, of every child of God, every Christian, every conservative today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for those that are looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for homeowners for the brands like Honda and Echo. for each of the homeowners. And by the way, they carry a full line of professional equipment for the landscaper and the lawn care person. It's the professional as well as for the homeowner. Tools for Time carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a full knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power generation backup equipment as well as the professional or homeowner lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It is 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic U.S. flag is flowing. I don't know about you, but there's nothing I enjoy seeing any more than a beautiful, wonderful flag representing the freedoms that we have in America and all that we have in our Bill of Rights. And I am thankful to say that Tools for Time has that gigantic flag, about 165-foot pole, and that old glory is flying 24/7. Ladies and gentlemen, find that U.S. flag. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're faced with a very serious scenario in America today. Don't know if you've noticed it or not, but the Bible says in Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear through, the people mourn. And I think we need to dedicate and recognize a time when there's a day of mourning for America and the realization and the recognition of what is taking place with a stolen election. There's still hope, though. Don't give up hope. I believe, and I've said many, many times on this broadcast, if President Trump can get this treason case heard before the U.S. Supreme Court, I believe President Donald J. Trump will be inaugurated on January the 20th of 2021. If it does not get to the Supreme Court, I believe we'll have a dark winter, as Joe Biden has called it in several occasions in the past few months. Ladies and gentlemen, it appears that the inmates are in charge of the prison. Today, the socialist, Marxist, BLM Democrats are literally running rampant over our entire constitutional republic. Our Constitution and the Bill of Rights, ladies and gentlemen, under assault, I believe, is never in the history of our nation. Please realize, if Joe Biden, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully, we're setting the stage for where we're going in a wonderful interview that we're going to have today with someone that's knowledgeable about what's happening on a local level, about the potential of defunding our police department in Jacksonville, Florida. But if Joe Biden, ladies and gentlemen, becomes president of the United States of America, America will face irreparable changes and will never be corrected for the future generations of America. The Biden administration, not yet official, ladies and gentlemen, yet he's called the president-elect. There's no such thing as the office of president-elect. And by the way, just a little tidbit of information that I just discovered and realized myself in an interview with one of our congressmen on this broadcast, that Kamala Harris is ineligible to be the president of the United States of America. She has Jamaican and Indian parents. She was born in Canada, and she is, quote, not a black person, a brown-toned skin, yes, but not a black person. And they're talking about liberals are talking about having the first black female as vice president. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not the case at all. But if Joe Biden goes into office, ladies and gentlemen, he has already said that he's going to have his Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken. Anthony Blinken, by the way, if you're not familiar with that, he is a full defender of global alliances. He is a future one world order advocate. And ladies and gentlemen, guess what? John Kerry, it's if not so sad, it'd be funny. John Kerry is one he's tapped on the shoulder to be climate change czar. We should realize, ladies and gentlemen, that America faces what Biden himself has called a dark winter. But perhaps, ladies and gentlemen, a more serious element of a Biden administration would be the defunding of law enforcement. You've heard it right. You've heard it. That's it. You go out and look in the state of Washington, state of Oregon, state of California, look at New York City. They didn't call it defunding the police department. They just called it reallocation of funds. And that's exactly what we see happening with these liberal, left-wing, Looney Tunes Democratic governors and mayors. They're doing exactly that. In fact, the mayor of Seattle said they would have a summer of love when they had the zone set up about 6 or 8, 10 blocks where thugs were in charge of that part of the city. But ladies and gentlemen, perhaps a more serious element, as I said, is the law enforcement defunding across America. We can take a look at Oregon, Washington State, New York City, New York, all of the blue state administrative leadership, ladies and gentlemen, that's under the flag of the Democratic Party. They simply want to defund or absolutely transfer funds. They don't like to call it defund because they know that that's the trigger that conservatives will have their ears at attention. They simply reallocating funds for the police departments. But ladies and gentlemen, in every one of those cases, crime has escalated overnight. The socialist Marxist agenda is to bring about a collapse of our society as we know it today. And the key components of this collapse is simply destroying the rule of law. The rule of law. Think what our city would be like or any other city if you had no law enforcement. You couldn't get dial 911. Or if you dial 911, as in Portland, Oregon now, and Seattle, Washington, you dial 911 and you might get a busy signal or someone that will transfer you to another department, perhaps the Department of Psychology. I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek, but that's exactly what they're doing across America. That's because the socialist, Marxist, BLM Democrats are willing to use their own words. They're willing to use, I'm using their own words now, to blow up the entire system, to remold it and remake it the way they want it. Yes, there's an article here that says that, coming from the CNN host, Don Lemon, as he likes to be called, says we're going to have to blow up the entire system. And that's exactly what they're attempting to do. And if Joe Biden goes in, ladies and gentlemen, as president of the United States of America, that's exactly what will take place. But listen, before we start throwing rocks at cities and states across America that's doing that, we need to bring our focus a little closer to home before we feel complacent about what's happening there and not happening here. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we have some of the very same things, some of the same ideas of defunding our police department. Of course, they're not using that term. Right here in the city of Jacksonville, Duval County, our city council has introduced a bill on ordinance number 2020-584 that is designed to establish a citizen review board over the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. The one we're going to interview in just a moment is very knowledgeable on this subject, and I'm not trying to displace what he'll say in relationship to that. But from my perspective, having a number of our family members with JSO, having a full understanding of what's happening with our city and what's happening with JSO, and the layer after layer after layer of Monday morning quarterbacks on what they ought to do and what they ought not to do, I find it egregious to have any human being with any sanity on the city council that wants to introduce a bill that'll put another layer of handcuffs, if we can use that term, on our law enforcement in Jacksonville, Florida. It's egregious, to say the very least. Our special guest today, ladies and gentlemen, for this discussion is none other than Stephen Zona. He is the president of the Fraternal Order of Police. And before we begin our discussion with Steve, let me just give a little introduction for him. Some of these things he might not want to say for himself, so I'll say it for him. His reputation has preceded him, as the little boy says, and I'm familiar with a little of his background. I want to give that to you before we introduce him. But Stephen, Steve, as he is known, 46 years old. He's a police sergeant from January of 1990 to present. He's a veteran on the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, robbery sergeant, worked as a homicide team in recent years. He's a conservative. He's a Christian. He's a career police officer, and he's the president of the Fraternal Order of Police. He represents our men and women in uniform for the local and state level in matters of concern, the workplace, rules and regulations and guidelines for our law enforcement. Steve, I also believe that you have recently received a special recognition from the president, President Trump, for services for the FOP president. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, let's make welcome Steve Zona, president of the Fraternal Order of Police right here in Jacksonville. Steve, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood, and thank you for having me.
I am delighted that you could take time out of a busy schedule to speak to us and address our listeners today on this very important subject. There's some people that do not look at it as important. In fact, I would be willing to tell you, Steve, that perhaps as much as 90% of our listening audience, as I speak, even in these moments, are not even familiar with this onerous bill that's been introduced and the potentiality of it coming to the floor for a vote to pass it for the citizens of Duval County. But before we get into that, Stephen, let me ask you to do something for us. Although I've given a little overview to our listeners about some of the, I call it small snippets of your qualifications, certifications, and the board, and your broad background, would you take just a moment to give our listeners a little brief overview of who you are, your law enforcement career, and your family, and what motivates you and gives you the passion to do what you do each day?
Absolutely, and thank you. So I've been married for 26 years to my wife, Kathleen. I have three children, Joe, Jack, and Emily. And I've been a police officer. I actually retired now, but I serve as the president of the local Fraternal Order of Police. But I was a police officer from 1988 until 2016. I started with the Jacksonville Beach Police Department, and from there I migrated out to the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, where I worked for 27 years. And I served, obviously, you know, in a capacity as a patrol officer out on the street, and eventually worked in investigations, robbery, sex crimes, homicide. Actually did a short stint in internal affairs with our agency, and a few task force out there in patrol off and on over time. Like I said, I've been the president of the Fraternal Order of Police. I've been the president for 5 years now. Prior to that, I was the secretary of our organization for 2 years. So I just got involved, you know, obviously in police work because it was a calling, something I wanted to do to you know, it sounds cliche, but it is what the majority of us get into this work for, is to make a difference in our community and help people. So it's kind of what the same thing that drove me towards the FOP was a decision that, you know, I felt like we needed to be more involved in the community, more involved in the actual political process. That, you know, it's the old saying, if you don't have a seat at the table, you're on the menu. And I just wanted to make sure that, you know, everybody, the men and women who put on a uniform in Jacksonville and around the state of Florida, have a voice. And that's what kind of drove me to get involved.
Absolutely. Well, I'm thankful to hear that. As you know, we've got several of our family members with JSO, and one of our four sons recently retired, as you have, from JSO. And I've encouraged him, by the way, Steve, to write a book. I said, you just put it on tape and we'll have it transcribed and published for you. It's fascinating and kind of fearsome also, as you listen to what I call police stories, listening to him as we sit around the Thanksgiving table at Christmas time together and talk about some of the things, some of the experiences that he's gone through. And I'm sure you could do that also. And the fact that you guys, as I say it, you guys are willing to put that uniform on, put that badge on, put that weapon on, and face the potential of danger and harm each and every day. I don't know how to say it any clearer than just simply saying thank you, thank you, thank you for what you have done, for what you're doing, and for what others in blue do each and every day. Were it not for you guys, I don't know that we would have what could be called a free society, or a society where there would be an opportunity for the average citizen to walk down the street in any city across America. So first and foremost, I want to say thank you. Thank you for putting that uniform on. Thank you for your service. Thank you for what you're doing in and for our city. And Stephen, I'm thankful that you are where you are and what you're doing, because it is, I believe, greatly needed. Would you tell our listeners why there's a need, or if there's a need, for citizens to stand for men and women in blue? Why is there a need today across America, not just here in Jacksonville? Do you see there's a need for citizens to just simply take a stand for law enforcement and to hold your hands up and to take a stand? And is there a need for that, or should we just toss in the towel and let the liberals destroy what we have in law enforcement?
Well, I think you mentioned it when you were talking about what's going on all over the country. I think there's a huge need for the community to stand up for law enforcement. I mean, we're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but that's a whole other topic of conversation I'm sure we'll get to. But what you see is when you have a community, which I don't think we have here, I think by and far most people here in Jacksonville support law enforcement. But what you see when you don't have that public support, and when you have the radical left pushing the agenda, and look at Seattle, look at Portland, look at Washington, D.C., look at the crime going through the roof, look at the police officers, you know, leaving their agencies because they don't have the support they need to be able to do their jobs and help the community. Look at, it was either Los Angeles or San Francisco, that they had to shutter and do away with the entire sex crimes investigation unit out there. So, you know, if you're unfortunate to become a victim of that type of crime, you don't have anyone other than the officer on the street who will be doing those investigations, which are complicated and take experience and time to do. So, absolutely, I think it's extremely important for the community to stand up and be heard when we have these attacks on law enforcement for no reason. They've taken this agenda when this all started, and they've turned it into something it was never meant to be. And, you know, the people out there that, for whatever reason, have had these hidden agendas for so many years, or, you know, what does Rahm Emanuel say? Never let a good crisis go to waste. And that's what they're doing. You know, when we're in the midst of a crisis, they're coming after law enforcement for things that they've been wanting to do for decades.
Absolutely. And you say that, and I'm reminded of the fact that, I don't know if it was the mayor of Seattle, the mayor of Portland, but one of those mayors got a little irate with something. She was in a cab and going someplace, and the cab driver basically stopped and said, "Get out." And she called 911. Police officer said, "I'm sorry, that's his prerogative. That's his personal property. He owns the car. If he told you to get out of the car." But she's one of the very ones that was advocating for defunding the police department. But yet, when she had an egregious event, as she called it, she wanted to call 911. Steve, hold a minute. We have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, this may open a can of worms, but I'm going to give it anyway. I think it was Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, who said regarding the Vietnam War, "You cannot be nice about war." I worked in mental health institutions for 40 years, and oftentimes the female nurses would complain about security staff when they had to restrain physically violent patients. A lot of the West Coast governors and mayors are female, and they're anti-police. Now, God bless women, but I think you need men making decisions some of the times.
Brother, I appreciate that call and that input and those thoughts so much, and let me just respond to that, and Steve might have a response also. I believe God ordained that a man, that men, be the head of the home, head of the church, and the head of government. And that means each and every governmental agency and department, because women are created different. They're created emotional beings. Men, generally speaking, do not have that same DNA. And as a result of that, war and difficulties, police officers' work, et cetera, that talks about killing people and breaking things, as the old cliche goes. And women are just not cut out for that. And so you're exactly right. Some of what we're seeing taking place with many of the DAs across America are the left-wing, lunatic liberals sponsored, paid for by George Soros, and they don't want to kill people or break things. So therefore, the mindset and the mantra is, let's just defund the police and let's have a psychologist go out when a 911 call goes out. And I believe that Steve sees that and understands that also. One of the things, Steve, as we talk about this, you know, they've introduced that bill here in the city that, let me just give you a little summary, and you're familiar with that, and then I'm going to just turn you loose and let you talk about it. The bill in summary that we're talking about today that's been introduced in the city of Jacksonville that I believe is City Council Bill 2020-584. It is a citizens review board, and this is what it simply says in the general counsel's one-page summary. It is, the bill is designed to foster transparency, to enhance communication, to ensure relationships and trust and respect between the city of Jacksonville and the community. The 14-member citizen review board is said to be unbiased, to review police cases and issues, to increase and demonstrate police accountability and credibility. Steve, the city council president, Tommy Azuri, has appointed two city council people to do the research on this, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But tell me, you're fully familiar with this bill. You're familiar with the pros and the cons and why it should or should not be. Let me just get you to address that from start to finish, and I'll come back in with some questions and comments, and we'll discuss it further.
Sure, sure. And if you don't mind, let me just take a second to make a few comments about that caller.
Yes, sir.
And I think I have a little bit different opinion. I can just say, you know, some of our staunchest allies and vocal supporters are women, elected leaders in roles not only here in Jacksonville, around the state and around the country. And, you know, we obviously have a lot of female police officers here at the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office.
I've got a granddaughter doing that.
Yep. And the vast majority of them, just like the men, are amazing. And I promise you, if need be, the women who wear the uniform here in Jacksonville will break something. And so will the men, you know, if they need to defend themselves or defend somebody here in the community. But and I'll go on to that.
You know, and I know those are the exceptions and not the rule, generally speaking, though. That's good.
They're all amazing. So
yes.
Anyway, so that legislation that was introduced, you know, and I hesitate to even say his name, by Council Member Garrett Dennis. So he already tried he says it wasn't, but he already tried to defund the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office by introducing a bill earlier in the year to put money, what they call below the line of the city budget, meaning that they give the sheriff enough money to operate for a couple months, and then if he wants more money, he has to come back and beg to get the rest of his money. Now, he didn't try to do that to the Parks and Recreation, the building department, anything like that. It was strictly aimed at the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. He calls it wasn't defunding. I'll call it what it is. It was defunding. So now he's moved on, and he's introduced a bill that is going to call for a civilian review board, or whatever you want to call it, here in Jacksonville. And I'll tell you, and again, like I said earlier, we're not perfect. I don't think no man is perfect. And we make mistakes, but I challenge people, show us the cases, show us the evidence that when the police officers in Jacksonville commit misconduct or don't do what they're supposed to do, whether it's minor or serious, that Sheriff Williams and his staff don't hold them accountable. And to this day, they can't find them. And I'm not talking based on, and this is the part about the civilian review board and why we don't need it. People will try to give you cases and give examples of what I just talked about, but what they do is they base them on politics, emotions, and agendas, not facts and evidence. Politics, emotions, and agendas. And that's all that civilian review board will create here in Jacksonville, because we never hide. So if the Florida Department of Law Enforcement wants to investigate us, the FBI wants to investigate us, the Department of Justice wants to investigate us, the state attorney's office wants to investigate us, we do not hide from investigations based on facts and evidence. We encourage them. But what we won't stand for is to allow him to create some sort of board like this for his own political reasons, whatever they may be, his emotions and his agendas. And all you have to do to realize that, you know, when he talks about this board won't be biased, to realize that that's not true, and I'm putting it kindly, is look at his interviews that he's done with local reporters when he couldn't get another council member to second his legislation for discussion in one of the committees. He was like a petulant child and was taken over, hijacked by his own emotions during that interview. So if the bill sponsor himself cannot control his own emotions over this topic, how would anybody ever expect this committee or board to be, you know, void of emotions, agendas, and politics? That's all this is going to encompass. And what people need to realize is everything that a police officer does or every investigation that's done about the actions of a police officer, when it's over with, is public record, meaning everything. The final summation, the witness interviews, everything. If you want to see that, all you got to do is make a public records request, and it's public records. Same whether it's a use of force by tasing somebody, or somebody makes an accusation you didn't do something right, or it's an officer-involved shooting. All of that, when the investigation is over with, is complete public record. Anybody can look at it.
Steve, we've got about 45 seconds before our top of the hour news break for 1 minute. Let me just read you part of the bill. It's item number 2 on duties and responsibilities of the Citizen Review Board. Through review of the completed JSO investigations to determine whether the investigation and disposition of the case was consistent with JSO policies and procedures and report the findings. That's taking a non-trained group of citizens that have political biases and trying to then analyze a Monday morning quarterback and say what's wrong and what's right with it. Let's talk about that further after the top of the hour news break. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back after 1 minute news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.